Hey, this is Wheeler Walker Jr., and you're listening to Sound Session.
American by birth and Southern by the grace of God means that everything I do it right. New York and California, you can go and have your fun, but down here I got a list of what I like.
Hey, welcome to another episode of Sound Sessions here on WGN Radio. I am Michael.
And this is Kevin.
And Kev, playing July 22nd here at Joe's on Weed Street here in Chicago. His new album, Old Wheeler, is out. We welcome Wheeler Walker Jr. to the show. What's going on, Wheeler?
How's it going, guys?
Doing well. Hey. How are you?
I'm good. Can I start things off with the Chicago, with the beef I've got with the guy in Chicago?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Your radio guys, I don't know if you're friends with them, but last year when I was promoting my first record, I called in, so I had an interview with this guy, Man Cow.
We know Man Cow.
We're familiar.
And they put me on hold, and while I was on hold, he saw the titles of my album, and they hung up on me.
He didn't even
give
you a shot?
On. And I was out, we were playing a show on the West Coast at the time. I woke up at like 5 o'clock for that interview.
Oh,
I've never
my.
Hated a guy more. So, Man Cow, you're on my... Can you bleep it on my shit list?
Yeah, we can bleep that. That's okay. You know, he's got a reputation for these kinds of things, actually. So
I was so upset. I was so pissed at the time. I wanted to find that guy and, you know, bash his brains in. You know, I don't wake up 5 o'clock in the morning to do much.
Right.
I certainly don't get. I don't like waking up at 5 a.m. to get hung up on. By
Jeez.
A guy named Man Cow.
who's known for being kind of an abrasive person himself, but kind
sure.
of like on the edge.
Exactly. You know what? That's what I heard. I heard he's like a Howard Stern wannabe.
That's exactly
like,
right.
If you're a Howard Stern wannabe, you know, have a guy, you know, have a little bit of balls. Don't, you know, also this guy's pretending to be some crazy, you know, it's like. Anyway, I heard the guy who hooked me up with the interview was really upset, too. He said that he used to be really popular, and now he's kind of getting his comeuppance, and now he's, like, barely on, like, you know, he's on some little crappy little station. So that makes me feel good. As long as he's doing poorly, I'm feeling good. We had a great gig last time in Chicago. I'm psyched to come back.
Where'd you guys play?
You should put me on the spot.
Sorry about that.
I don't remember, but I know I have a cousin in Chicago, and she came. So that's what I remember about the show. You want me to text her, see where I'm?
It's okay. You don't have to do that.
So you have a good connection here to Chicago. Do you have a lot of family? Do you like coming here to the city?
Yeah, I dig it. You know what? You know, growing up in Kentucky, we had WGN.
Oh, nice.
So, which is weird because, you know, so I would always either, if I wanted to watch baseball, the Cubs is really kind of all we could get on TV.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, I love Bozo the Clown, too. So.
Oh, yeah.
What's Bozo to nowadays? I'll bet he's passed away, huh?
I think he lives on. What's the word I'm looking
vicariously
for?
Vicariously,
yeah,
through
so
other characters.
But the guy who played him, is he around?
I don't know if the original
one. Well, the
one
that I know when I was a kid.
There might be. Let me see if I'll do the Googling.
His last name was Bell, I remember.
Bob
right?
Bell, I think,
Bob
was
Bell.
One of them.
I think that he passed away, which is kind of sad. You never got to play those Bozo buckets, huh, Wheeler?
Oh no, I mean, I didn't have Bozo money.
Oh, I see. Well, that's cool. Well, again, you're playing July 22nd here at Joe's on Weed Street. Now, this place kind of gets rowdy sometimes. How are the shows going so far with the new tour?
Oh, it's been great. It's our best shows yet by far. You know, the crowd, you can kind of tell by the crowd that it's not the same kind of... It used to be just a bunch of, you know, dudes with sort of backwards baseball hats, and now it's like I'm seeing men, women, you know, all different types of people. You know, you can see that it's just... A collection of what kind of people got the tickets first instead of just, like, for lack of a better term, a sausage fest, you know?
Yeah, because now you kind of made your footprint here in the country music scene and in the comedy scene, and you're doing all these great things with your sound. People actually know you, and they're coming out to these shows. So how does it feel to have everybody singing along to these songs that are kind of offensive, I guess you could say?
Yeah, abrasive.
Yeah, well, what's crazy is, and again, get the bleep machine ready. What's crazy is when you, you know, you look out in the audience, there's 300 dudes with their hats, baseball caps pulled backwards, all screaming, which one of you queers is going to suck my dick? it's kind of, you know, kind of powerful, too. It's like that I have that kind of effect on these guys. You know?
Sure.
And I don't think that they were saying that before the show, you know.
Well, it depends. You never
who
know.
Who knows what that, and I'm always curious what they did after the show.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that sounded like it was probably a quiet drive home, you know.
Real awkward. Well, I want to know, so, you know, with song titles and song content like that, you know, it makes a guy think of, like, the David Allan Coes of the world. I mean, was he, or is he an influence for you?
I get that a lot, but I opened a couple shows for him when I first, you know, back on that first tour. But he honestly wasn't, just because his stuff was more, I don't know, it's hard to say. It was more, to me, it's just now, you know, the world we live in now, that stuff's just out. I mean,
yeah.
To me, what I'm doing is no dirtier than, you know, stuff that's so popular. I mean, than Kendrick Lamar or, you know, a lot of this other, you know, stuff that's out there now. But back then, you couldn't hear anything like it. So.
Right.
I think it was just, I think it was more, there was more of shock value to it then. But I do like David Allan Coe, don't get me wrong.
Sure.
But it was not like, oh, I'm going to make a David Allan Coe record or something like that.
Right. Just,
I love traditional country and I love good country music. And I didn't want to clean up what I was doing, you know. And
yeah.
What happened was a guy, you know, basically let me know that the kind of country music I'm playing doesn't get played on the radio anymore. All they play is pop garbage. So it's like, if you're going to play real country music, you ain't going to get played on the radio anyway. So why clean it up? Just put out, you know, your first draft.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, you kind of remain like sincere and genuine when it comes to that kind of stuff, because you refuse to censor any of your work, and you don't even care about, you know, getting played on these radio stations, which do censor a lot of artists' work. This is kind of a true artistry. Do you see yourself? I mean, what's the thinking behind, you know, keeping everything as it is, as it was written, as far as your lyrics go?
Well, it's funny you ask, because my album As We Speak is number one on the comedy charts, which always
yeah, way to go.
It's not a comedy. I mean, thank you, but it's not, to me, it's not comedy. It's just that it's just uncensored because it's country music with bad words. They categorize it as comedy, which kind of bums me out, because the whole point was my whole goal was, if I just say if I don't censor myself and just say everything what I mean, then it's almost more honest than if I just kind of, you know, cleaned it up for the airways or something. To me, I use the vulgarity as a way to kind of get to the core of the matter a little bit quicker, you know. So, again, it ain't comedy to me, but if they're going to put me number one on a chart, it, you know, makes me happy. I mean, our album, the new album, Old Wheel, just came out this past week, and this kind of stuff just I get so angry about is, we had the fifth best-selling country album in America this week.
Mm-hmm.
But we're number 10 on the Billboard charts. Because the Billboard puts in, like, radio plays and streams and stuff like that to make sure people like me, you know, don't get in the way of
yeah.
Keith Urbans and all those guys out there. It's like, you know, I want to say it's a rigged system, but, mm-hmm. it's, you know, we all knew that anyway. So it's like, you know, it's the kind of stuff. I think it's like if they put me, I had the number 5 album, if they put me where I deserve to be, I wouldn't be so angry. So it's probably good that it keeps me, you know, angry and keeps me motivated.
Sure. Now,
it's almost like they're out trying to get me, but, you know.
Well, talk about that, you know, because I've noticed you kind of aren't afraid to call out other country musicians like the Keith Urban that you just mentioned or Luke Combs. I mean, do you have, like, a rivalry kind of going on, or is it, what are you calling these guys out for?
Well, I mean, I just don't like, you know, it's weird because I actually, good pop music, I like it, but, you know, I don't understand a lot of these guys. As someone who grew up, just as someone who loved country music so much, when I hear, you know, this type of music I love that's just kind of disappearing from the earth, and then they're calling what Sam Hunt or Florida Georgia is doing, they're calling that country music, it just, you know, it kills me. It's like,
sure.
There's people out there playing real country music, you know, it's like, they've almost taken country music and turned into the minor leagues for pop, which makes me angry because they're taking up somebody else's space right there. It's like,
mm-hmm.
if you're someone like me, I don't want to sound like some old fogey, which I kind of am. I mean, the album's called Old Wheeler, but there's people who are love that type of music and are dying to hear it, and they can't get to it because, you know, the record labels are filling up all these, you know, it's not like someone like Sam Hunt. It's like, they listen to it. They go, you know, you can't compete with Adele and all those people for the in mm-hmm. country. They, you know, they, it's almost like they go, where are you from? And he says, like, Georgia. He's, all right, you're from Georgia. The same pop, this crappy pop song, we're going to call it country. So just your interviews in one, like, with a twang, and you get to be in the country category. So where you would have been number 100 on the pop charts, now you're number 5 on the country chart.
Yeah.
It's just you know, a categorization thing. It's like there's still people. I mean, to me, when Sturgill first hit the scene, when Sturgill Simpson first hit the scene, it was mm-hmm. like, I could see it. I could feel there were people just dying to hear someone that good and playing that type of music. And every once in a while, someone will come along doing that kind of thing, which makes me know there's an audience for it, you know.
Yeah.
But they just, you know, you don't want – I mean, keep in mind, too, that even Sturgill ain't getting on the radio, so –
Well,
I don't want to spend my whole time ragging, you know.
No,
the radio to two guys on the radio, but
no. Well, on the other side of the coin, what about you? You know, you mentioned like a Sturgill or some other people in the country music scene that are doing it right. But in your terms, I feel like country music in general has a long history, like John and June, and you know, of these collaborations that have happened. Is there anybody on your radar that you would like to collaborate with?
I don't. Well, I did a duet with a. This woman, Nikki Lane, on my new record. I wouldn't mind recording with her again. I really, she put out an album recently that I just think is fantastic. If people haven't heard it, it's called Highway Queen. And she's someone who's just, she's got a, she almost sounds like Loretta in some ways.
Nice.
But I don't hear anybody else doing kind of what she's doing. There's another woman called Angelina Presley, no relation to Elvis, but she's actually another Kentuckian, and she's got a new record that's just amazing, but... Again, all these people, you just don't, you know, they're not playing them on the
yeah.
charts. I mean, Angelina's in a side project called the Pistol Annies with Miranda Lambert, so she kind of, I guess, dips into that world a little bit. But yeah, just because it's upsetting to me. I use and for whatever reason, I'm the only guy who has the nerves. Again, trying to watch the language here to go up on Twitter. Instagram or Facebook and call these dudes out because at the end of the day I just don't really care, you know. Mm-hmm. Which is obviously a lie since I just complained about my chart position, but still, you know.
You know, and I heard you talking a little bit about the importance of streaming, because obviously there's a lot of like new types of media you can get your music out to and everything. How do you see that streaming process? Are you getting the money that you need as an artist? Because I know a lot of your plays come from platforms like Spotify and iTunes and everything.
Yeah, I mean, I've got a different view of like Spotify than most people, which is first of all, I'm an independent artist, so I own mm-hmm. my record label.
Yeah.
So the money I get from streaming is fine. You know, I have no complaints about the money because, you know, I don't have to split it with a record label. I put the albums out myself.
Mm-hmm.
My problem with Spotify is they become gatekeepers. And, you know, I don't know when you go on Spotify, I go and just listen to what I want, but a lot of people go and they listen to these, like, playlists and they, you know, they just go through the front channel where it's like, you know, country hits or country classics or whatever it is. And for whatever reason, Spotify will not put me on any playlist. The guy who runs those Spotify playlists is that's what inflates your streaming numbers. Mm-hmm. Basically, they're giving you money when they put you on a playlist. And the guy who runs the Spotify country playlist is the guy they took from country radio.
Oh.
He won't put me on Spotify any playlist. So again, they're just trying to keep me off the quote unquote airways by, you know, refusing to put me on these things. Just like, why? How can I not be on the country hits if I'm outselling 2/3 of the artists on this playlist?
Mm-hmm.
You know. So, last I heard, you know, my people called him and still wouldn't call back. So, you know, it's a weird argument we have, which is I'm the guy, you know, complaining how there's not enough traditional country, and there's the old country dudes who are saying that the kind of language I use shouldn't be used in country music. So we're both kind of arguing about the same thing, but. But I'm right and they're wrong.
I mean, it's true because when it comes to artistry and people who you want to see people who can stand by their art, and I feel like that's what you do, Wheeler Walker Jr., with the stuff that you do and the music that you put out.
Well, I appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, this is not, you know, I put everything I got into it. These are, I know some people think they're kind of silly and and I pop my mouth off in interviews and at shows and stuff. But when it comes to recording and writing the songs, I mean, it's the most serious thing in the world to me. It's, you know, it's all I got. It's the way I communicate, and it's you know, I put everything I had into the new record, and because I thought the first record was really great. Don't get me wrong. But the new one, I was just like, how am I going to make an album better than that one? And I just, you know, I really put a lot of pressure on myself and tried to make, even if you cut through the, a lot of people will be turned off by the language, but those people are pussies, you know, so fuck them.
The new album. Yes. Go ahead.
You might make a note, a couple more bleeps. but, you know, it's just like, that's how people talk, and that's how me and my friends talk, and I just felt like I'd get people... The people that I want to reach would understand what I was saying more, you know, in that if I said it in the way I wanted to say it. Because the way, you know, the way most songs on the radio are you know, written and recorded, that's not, it's not anything that me and my friends can relate to. So I just thought if I just did it, country music the way in the way I talked, which didn't, which by the way, doesn't sound too like much of a crazy idea when you say it, but right. For whatever reason, I'm the only guy doing it right now.
Mm-hmm. Hey, do you remember the first dirty song that you wrote? Like, where does this inspiration come from? Where you're just one day, it just you wake up and it just hits you like an asteroid from outer space or something?
Yeah, well, I do remember the first one. Again, you have to get the bleep machine ready because although it's your fault because you put it in the question. But I was working on the song "Fuck You, Bitch" from the first record when this girl who had dumped me, and I was messing around with the chorus, and just that fit so perfectly, and it's what I felt, you know. And I didn't mean it in any kind of malicious way. I mean, she dumped me for a good reason. It was my fault.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what, you know, when you get dumped, that's how you feel when you're walking out the door. And I remember messing around with it, and what I felt was what I just said, the title of the song. And then it hit me, like you said, like a bolt of lightning almost, just like, you know, wait a second, I'm paying for the album. I'm putting it out myself. Why not just sing it this way?
That's a really strong point,
right.
You know?
And
also, that's a really, really good song, too. It's kind of like this lullaby ballad-y kind of country song about a girl who did you wrong, Kevin. It's fantastic. And I also heard...
You know what's interesting about that song, too? So that song came out a year ago with the first record. And I got my people working with me, and my manager, you know, texted me the other day. He goes, "What's going on with that with that song?" I go, "What do you mean?" He goes, "They have this. Speaking of Spotify, they have these Spotify viral chart. They won't put me on the real playlist, but there's one called the viral playlist, which is actually what people are actually listening to. You know, which is a playlist they can't control, but what's going viral?
Yeah,
and that song shot up back up the charts this week, even though my new album is what we're trying to promote." And we tried to figure out what it was, and apparently that song had gone quote-unquote viral on something they called Black Twitter. Do you know what this is?
I have heard of it before.
I'm not familiar.
But I don't really know what it is, though.
I guess it's more PC term, but, you know, it's slang for, like, the African-American portion of social media.
Yeah.
And a lot of hip-hop artists, and they said this woman, Erykah Badu, was, like, tweeting about it. I guess they all found it just this last weekend. And so I was king of Black Twitter for like a week, I guess. And
hang your crown on that.
That's the kind of thing that honestly makes me real so happy is like, you know, bringing a more diverse audience into country music would make me happier, you know. And it's cool because I don't buy the argument that country music is just, you know, made for, you know, designed just for white people. That's not how it was, you know, started out, you know.
Yeah.
So it, you know, it was kind of cool to me and seeing all that kind of stuff. Because I always use the example of, you know, sitting in my buddy's house in Kentucky, I'd be in his room and we'd be playing WA kind of low so, you know, the parents wouldn't hear it. Then I'd walk out into the hallway and his parents would be listening to Waylon. And I'd go walk back to his room and you'd hear a little bit of Ice Cube kind of rapping and, you know, F the Police, and then you hear a little bit of that pedal steel from Waylon, and you're like,
yeah.
You know, it's like almost like I'm making music in that hallway, which is a kid from Kentucky, you know, who's kind of got, you know, learned about lyrics from that kind of stuff, but, you know, learned about country music from the, you know, the good stuff, Willie and Waylon and George Jones and all that stuff. So it's not that strange to me because what I'd heard so much of that kind of crass stuff before, but it's new to the country world, and they don't like you stepping on their turf, you know.
Sure. Wheeler, so you like you were just saying, you were raised in Kentucky. You live in Nashville now?
Yeah.
So do you have any thoughts on the beloved Nashville Predators and their recent elimination in the Stanley Cup Finals?
Well, I mean, I was upset about it, but I'm not going to lie to you. I was not I was not a hockey expert up in the, you know, I always liked going to the games because
Sure. It's
a, you know, I like the Titans, but they're still the Oilers who moved there. The Predators are, you know,
it's like their team, yeah.
It's Nashville's team, so it was cool, but you know, it's tough. It's just shit because my mom is from Nashville, so I kind of in a way grew up there too. All my family's from there, so I've been going there since I was a little kid. So, and I'm watching the city kind of turn into this kind of small, from the small town to basically, you know, bachelor party Vegas is kind of strange for me. So in a way, watching this, anytime there's parties in the street, it just kind of keeps me in my house. You know, it's like, I don't like crowds. I don't like, you go downtown, I don't know when the last time you guys been to Nashville was, but go downtown, there's bachelorette parties on bicycles.
Everywhere.
Those bicycle machines where they're drinking and stuff, it's a nightmare. But they've kind of taken over the city, so I wanted the team to win because, you know, I like winning stuff, but I wasn't, you know, there's also part of me too that's just anti everything, and you know, watching Luke Bryan, you know, on the broadcast and stuff, it's just like, come on. And I've been bugging them to let me sing the national anthem, but of course, I think they thought I was going to throw a couple F bombs in there. But
why would they think such a thing?
For this country, I wouldn't do that.
I hear you. Instead, they gave it to Carrie Underwood a couple times. It seemed like.
Yeah, exactly. Her husband's on the team. Right?
I know.
Oh.
Yeah, I gotta marry someone on the team. You know, it's funny too because they got the helmets on, and I was actually this guy Eric Church invited me to his show, which was nice of him. So I went to, and I'm always trying to impress people. So I brought a lady friend to see the show, and they gave me backstage passes. And I'm looking for probably some of the players will be back there. And I'm like, I've realized when I'm back there, I don't even know what these guys look like. One of my buddies just like look for the people with no teeth.
Right.
I'm like, this is Tennessee, man. You know, how do you tell the hockey player, you know, basically what they're saying is look for a predator with no teeth. That's half the town.
It's true.
How do you tell these people? It's like, again, that ice rink is probably the only place. If you left it open, some dude would probably come and just kind of crack it open and try to start fishing or something.
Sure.
So it's a weird town for hockey, I guess, but it's been kind of cool and learned about the game a little bit more, but...
Yeah, it's a cool place to be. It is kind of interesting to see that huge stadium in like that music row down in Nashville.
And boy, they hate Chicago.
Yeah, not a fan. Hey Wheeler, when you're playing down in Nashville, do you ever test your skills a little bit and like go out and play an open mic? Because I know that the music scene down there is just insane. So there's music every night. Do you ever put on a disguise and hit up one of those local honky tonks?
No, I try not to because my problem is for whatever reason, a lot of people in the industry think what I'm doing is really, because they hear the bad words, so they think what I'm doing is so easy. It's like all he's doing is, you know, throwing a couple bad words over country music, which guys like you who've actually spent time with the music know isn't true.
Oh, yeah, no way. You and Dave.
Definitely depth to it, but the problem is I go out and every guy and his mom's grabbing me like, I got an idea for a song for you, and they just grab me and just, they basically just yell three bad words in a row. I'm just like, that ain't, you know. I'm like, what key? You know, it's like, that ain't a song. It's just bad words. Like, what are you talking about?
Oh, man.
Hey, it's made it tougher to walk around. You know, even that concert I was talking about, you know, I'll try to, I don't wear the cowboy hat, and I'll take the shades off, and, you know, people will stop me. It's like, funny, at that Eric Church show, it's like three times, like, hey, you Wheeler Walker Jr.? I just kept, well, I was too busy. I was like, no. He goes, can I get a picture just in case? I'm like, well, what about me, you know? I'm trying to, you know. So it becomes a little annoying, but, you know, it's what happens when you mix big business with a small town, I guess.
That's
also, I can't complain. I'm on the one hand complaining about my chart position being too low. On the other hand, I can't really complain about being bothered too much. So.
Well, you're getting huge by the daily, and the new album is fantastic. Again, Old Wheeler, pick it up like on iTunes, on Amazon Music.
Yeah, help me get ahead of Florida Georgia Line and Sam Hunt on the charts.
Let's bring them down. let's bring
real country music back. That's what I'm trying to do.
There you go.
You know, I love the fact that you're using all these types of new media. I mean, you released your last album on Pornhub, which probably was the most amazing idea. Why doesn't everybody do this?
Because the problem is when you sign to a major label, people don't understand when you sign to the big label, you know, there's a giant corporation, they got shareholders and stuff, so they all sit around and they decide, you know, they run it through what they call the, you know, the risk benefit equation, you know. Like there's a lot of, they make a lot of money off this stuff, and you know, like I said, the same company makes toasters and microwaves and whatever else. Mm-hmm. They can't risk, you know, an artist getting in trouble. But when you put out the album yourself, I have free reign to do whatever the heck I want, you know. So my people were coming to me like, you know, a lot of these artists nowadays, which I guess is cool, they'll put out their album like a week early, you know, on NPR so you can get a sample of it.
Mm-hmm.
Or they'll put it out on Rolling Stone's website or something. And they were coming to me and going, you know, like NPR won't do it, so-and-so won't do it. I go, do me a favor, just look up where those websites you're telling me about. Where are, like, what ranking are they on the most popular websites on the planet? Like, they gave me these numbers like 50,000 something, you know, and like another one was like 28,000. I go, where's Pornhub on that list? And they looked it up. It was the 19th biggest website in the world.
Wow, jeez.
And I go, that's where the audience is. That's because I that's the first website I thought of, because that's when you type in P on my browser, that's what comes up. I go, just call them up, see if they'll premiere my record, and you know, let's go where the people are.
Yeah, right.
Why not?
Whether they'll, I mean, I don't care if they admit that that's where they heard it or not. Let's just give them a chance to hear it. It's like there's the technology's there, and Pornhub is really cool about it. You know, just like, you know, they're saying the same thing, which is why won't people advertise with this?
They seem like cool people, like you know, understandable.
Yeah,
they were totally cool about it, and they didn't, the first time, I think this time they may have a little bit, but they didn't even charge me anything. Just they could just put it on here, and we're just as an experiment to show that, you know, mainstream, quote-unquote, stuff, you know, can work with this kind of, you know, on this kind of medium. And we did it in the premiere in the top 10, and then this week, this album, we did the same thing. We premiered a video with it. Had another top 10 record, you know, like I said, it was cool about it. We actually did a video, new video, and we did a version of it just for them, which was this song called Puss in Boots, which I think you may be able to say on the air since it's a kids movie.
Maybe.
Yeah.
You may not want to risk it, but we did a version of that video where we had actual women in the video were nude in the video, and we gave that version to them, so if you want to watch the nude version, I think you got to go to that website. So,
I actually was just watching that before the interview. It was awesome.
You got to watch where you're working. You know what's funny too is we put that video up that day on Pornhub, and I went online to check the numbers, and it wasn't that crazy. I'm like, I thought you said this was like one of the biggest websites in the world, like literally bigger than Craigslist is what they said.
Mm-hmm.
And the numbers weren't that big, and they called. They go, wait till 5 o'clock.
Yeah, everybody gets off work.
Yeah, everyone's at work right now. And at 5 o'clock, you just would watch those numbers just, you know, fly up there. So, you know, you just got to be, I'm not someone who actually loves social media, but it's just that's the game now. It's the way, like I said, you know, like Sam Hunt can get on the radio, but he's not allowed to do Pornhub. So I got to double down all the things that all these other people can't do. You know,
I hear you. And you got the podcast, too, that's going on, Wheeler Walker Jr.'s podcast, which is happening. You can find that.
Yeah, which they had talked me into. I didn't want to do it, but it turned out to be kind of fun. I dig.
Yeah, you have some really good guests, Bill Burr, and you have, who is this, Cowboy Cerrone?
Cowboy Cerrone, he's a UFC fighter.
Yeah, we had Chris Stapleton on the first one, nice. And we had Brandi Clark this week. If you don't know Brandi, she's really good. I'm trying to think who else we've got. It's kind of, that's the thing, is I go to these gigs and there's all these kind of popular or famous people who are doing well who are like, I'm a big fan. And I always put it in my head like, you know, well, I'm gonna you know, take you up on that one of these days for something.
Yeah.
When I had this podcast, like, it's time, you know.
Hey, so I'm on your Twitter right now, Wheeler, and I, as of April 29th, there was reports of a fake Wheeler Walker Jr. online trying to trick fans into letting them. You can handle that part, but did you ever get to the bottom of this? No pun intended.
You know what's weird is that really true? What you just said?
Yeah.
Where did you see that?
I'm on your Twitter page right now. There's a photo. I have been told that there is a fake Wheeler Walker Jr. online who is tricking fans into letting him blank them. Both men and women, do not open your blank for an unverified Wheeler.
You know, it's funny. It's because my manager told me that happened, that he was going to tweet for me something, and I just said okay. I was actually out playing shows. I just told him okay. But I didn't know that it had gotten that far, so that kind of – hopefully no one fell for it.
I think by the time that this
big fat loser got over there, they'd realize that in Wheeler, hopefully you kept the door locked. But
yeah, I would certainly hope so.
Yeah, but I mean, that's the downside. I mean, I guess when people start impersonating you, I guess that's maybe a good sign, but you don't want it to get ugly like that. But yeah, I'd heard a little bit about it, but I didn't know that it had gotten that far. I'm also mad, too, that I forgot that my manager has my Twitter password, too.
Well, Wheeler Walker, he's coming back to Chicago on July 22nd at Joe's on Weed Street. Wheeler, we have just about, two more questions for you. Thanks again for taking the time to talk to us today, by the way.
Well, thank you for having me. You guys going to come out to the show?
Yeah, oh, we'd absolutely love to come to the show.
Cool. Well, hit up whoever got you hooked up, use this up the interview. Just talk to them, and we'll hang out backstage. Drink a beer.
Hell yeah.
Make fun of all this crappy music.
Well, I love it. You know, Wheeler, we have a listener question. We rarely do, but of course, when we announce this, we're going to be talking to you. Of course, we're going to get some fans. This is from Jerry from Nashville. He wanted to know how much.
Oh, no, not Jerry again.
Oh, good old Jerry. He's back again. He wanted to know, Jerry from Nashville, how much pussy did you have to eat to become the Pussy King?
I'm not legally allowed to answer that because of the way the contest works. Once you become king, mm-hmm. you aren't allowed to divulge the secrets because then someone else could steal the title from you. So once they put that crown on you, you're sworn to secrecy. So I can't really talk
about
it.
It's a very elite title there.
So Jerry's, basically what I'm saying is, Jerry, you got no shot. put it this way, I was full.
Yeah. You heard it from
the regular WGN interview for you guys.
This is one of the best WGN interviews
absolutely.
I think there's ever been.
Better than Bodo, yeah.
One more question for you. You know, you mentioned our great Chicago girls in your song "Puss in Boots," which we were mentioning a little bit earlier. So, you know, something have to do with making it hard to do something in 4-degree weather.
I always used to hear that. That Beach Boys song "California Girls," and then that whore David Lee Roth did a horrible cover of it that was on MTV all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And he was and he would kind of diss Southern girls in that song. And ever since I heard that, I was like, one of these days I'm gonna do the Southern version of "California Girls," which because I always liked girls from the South. So then, unfortunately for Chicago, Chicago rhymes with a lot of stuff, so they made it into the song.
Mm-hmm.
It's not personal against Chicago women. It's just it fit the song, and I'm trying to talk about how it's not that I don't like women from Chicago, it's just I like women from the South more.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what these women from Chicago can do, you know, I'm gonna like girl, you know, a girl in cowboy boots more than that. So people have to listen to the song themselves and see what I rhyme Chicago with, but
yep.
Like I said, it just fit too perfectly. I couldn't resist.
Yeah, so where are the best girls in the world?
Well, like I said, I prefer Southern women, you know. People always, you know, differ from what they consider the actual South, you know. I'm actually, you know, look, being from Kentucky, there's people consider that, you know, not the South, but I certainly do. But, you know, is Miami the South? I don't know. I mean, it certainly doesn't feel like it when you're there, but.
That's a good point.
You know, it's kind of like, I guess what I'm trying to say is, which I guess would be surprised about is, you know, I prefer the kind of the Southern late, you know, the kind of the nice, sweet, quiet Southern, you know, girls that, you know.
Sure.
I think
more of a challenge for a crazy person like me, I guess. You got to break through, you know, Wheeler's outer shell.
Yes, yes, and I'm sure that's hard to do. But Wheeler, you are putting out awesome music every single day. The new album is phenomenal. It's called Old Wheeler. Pick it up on all the streaming services, on iTunes. Make sure Wheeler's numbers go through the roof this year.
Yeah, and then don't go to the chains looking for it because I was banned from all the chain stores.
So can we go to your website to get it?
Yeah, you can definitely go to the website. And vinyl was delayed. If you're a vinyl, it sounds like you guys are big music fans.
Yeah. But,
we had a problem with vinyl, which was it'll take another whole episode to tell you about, so I won't get into it. But vinyl is coming any day now, is what I hear. So people who are listening to this are probably big music fans like me, and like me like to get vinyl. So the vinyl's on its way. I still haven't even seen it yet. So.
That's exciting.
So you're going to be able to pick that up on July 22nd at Joe's?
Yeah, we'll have vinyl at Joe's, too. But you can also get the vinyl from my, I think, from my website, and also I think Amazon have it as well. But like I said, we were banned from Walmart, Kmart, Best Buy. I think we were banned before I even recorded the record. Somehow.
Oh, man. Wheeler, the all-American badass. Find him where you can. He's coming to Chicago July 22nd on Joe's on Weed Street. His new album, Old Wheeler, out now. Wheeler, thank you so much for joining us here on Sound Sessions.
It's an honor to be on WGN. Like I said, a station I grew up with. And congrats to the Cubs for finally breaking that cup.
Yeah, that's right.
That was exciting for me to watch. I assume the games are on WGN?
Yeah.
Radio?
Yeah.
Okay, well, congrats to all the Cubs fans out there.
Well, thanks, man. Thank you.
And I'm a hockey basketball fan, so I know winning. So you can ask me about it. I'll tell you what it's like.
Right on. Well, Chicago's happy to have you back in town. So thanks again for joining us here on Sound Sessions.
Well, thank you for having me, guys. We'll talk soon.
Can't get enough of Sound Sessions? Like our Facebook page. Follow us on Twitter @SoundSeshPod and check us out on Instagram @SoundSessionsWGN.